any relationship, there are good things and there are bad things. Whether that relationship is with a parent, a sibling, a child, a friend, a co-worker, a romantic partner. In all cases, we must judge what is good and what is bad in that relationship. In some cases, the bad outweighs the good, but in no way should ever people not forget to look at what is bad in a relationship, because that can harm the people involved in that relationship, and that can cause someone to become a worse person than who they are. It can also make it difficult for the relationship to continue. In some cases, people have to end a relationship for the good of their soul. The late Jesuit Anthony de Mello talked about that at times, and you can look up some of his writing and some of his pithy statements, especially in the book Hearts on Fire, which kind of talk about the good parts of relationship. They're short. But he also notedly said once that if you have a problem being in a relationship with someone, you could say, I choose not to be in their presence. Because that has a lot to do with our reading. In the gospel, Jesus talks about sorting what is good and what is bad. And he mentions at first things collected by fishermen. And then he seems to be talking about people. People who are good and who are bad. Now, Jesus did not become incarnate in the world to condemn people and to say, I do not choose to be in relationship with you, but to bring them into relationship. And if we pay attention to Jesus' actions in the gospel, we see that he sits down with people whom other people condemn as sinners. Other people who would not want to be together with people whom Jesus would normally hang out with. There is no one whom Jesus said, I'm not going to try to speak to them. He tried to speak to everyone. When he condemns the Pharisees and the scribes, it's because they are having an attitude where they don't want to be connected with him. Certainly there are Pharisees and scribes who ended up being followers of Christ. But in general, there were some who were very opposed to him. If we look at the gospel and look at the first reading, look at the closeness that God has with the people of Israel. Sometimes God stayed close to the people. They didn't move. The column that is we read about would move and people would follow it, and then some days it would just stay there. Now, there's nowhere, no time, no any part of our lives of which God is not intimately aware. But this manifestation that we hear about in Exodus is God showing God's presence to the people of Israel. They didn't use the word God as Father then. We had to have Jesus there to tell us that relationship with God, to consider God as our Father. So that language would not have been comfortable to them. They were still getting used to God the Lord, as opposed to the different deities that might have been worshipped in Egypt. And in fact, this passage from Exodus occurs after the incidents with the golden calf, a sense of going back to the practice of worshipping idols that they would have absorbed in Egypt. That would have been part of the milieu in which they lived and worked. Even though they had a sense of who they were, this is what they lived with. And so it became familiar and comfortable to them. Notice that God doesn't say, okay, that's it. You guys are going to be stuck in the desert and good luck with that. And then send a drought just to make things worse. No. God remained with the people of Israel. Sometimes just saying, we're not going to walk today. We're not going to get up and disassemble the tents and harness the animals and gather the children and make sure that those who are not able to move are on carts. We're going to stay together. That closeness, that intimacy is what God wants for each of us. And how do we look at that today? Well, given the Jesuit feast saints of this week, I would say, look at the examine. Sit down with God and go over your day. Sit down with God and say, what do you want to show me? What did I do well? What did I do poorly? Take out the part of me that is bad, because I don't want to be one of those people whom the angels pick up and toss into the fire. I want to be with you, because I know you want to be with me. There are many examples of how to do the examine, and IgnatianSpirituality.org has some examples there you could follow. Also, I mentioned the book Hearts on Fire, Praying with Jesuits. I encourage you to pick up a copy of that. I've probably given away almost as many copies as I own. Just because I have at least two copies right now, I can say that I'm in the positive balance. But over the years, I've given away a few dozen copies of this book. It can help you become closer to God and help you realize the parts of your relationship with God and the parts of your relationship with others that are good and that are bad. So maybe today is a day to just sit and be with God in prayer. Maybe tomorrow, the day after. In fact, I recommend that you find quiet time every day to be with God, whether it be in front of the tabernacle, in a parish church or chapel, whether it be in Eucharistic adoration, whether you find a quiet place at home or at work where you can pray, whether you go out in nature during daylight or at nighttime, but call God to mind and tell God, I want to talk over my day with you. I want to spend some time being with you. And if you can, try to make a retreat. A silent retreat can be good. Or if you're on a retreat that's not so silent, find silence. Remember, God wants to be with us, and therefore we should want to be with God.